sorts of awards. We are here talking about how this is the office of the executive claiming it runs everything. They brainwashed the military, even military you talk to, who are against this go well of the commander-in-chief says, I got to do it. I'll shoot Americans. I'll arrest Congress. That's not true. Now, Nixon again said, well, when the president breaks the law, it's not breaking the law. Well, you saw what happened there. So, very, very serious. I want to take calls coming up in this hour for Naomi Wolf. I want to talk about her new book and solutions that her book gets into, and also the new video covering all this. She's a very influential lady and very intelligent, and we're really glad that she has the courage to get into all this, and we're going to send her more of this information. But here it is, potential for death. And Naomi, what do you think of them apples?
Potential for death. I mean, you know, terrifying and yet not surprising. Because once you see footage, which is why I'm so concerned about the election, of, you know, a handful of angry voters who've just been purged from the rolls, you know, speaking up and being tasered to death, oops, accidentally or in defense, or, you know, being quote-unquote subdued by, you know, these lethal and non-lethal technologies, which the initial Army Times report said that the 1st Brigade had.
And they now have mass tasers? They now have mass tasers?
What? You're telling me they have mass tasers?
Yeah, it's a big taser they roll out that shoots a bunch of cords out and shocks
them. Yeah. Alex, really, I can't, you know, it's like just when I think I've reached, you know, I understand where we are, you bring up new information that takes it one step further. All right, so, you know, all we need is some repeating footage on CNN or Fox News of, you know, five Americans, you know, in the street, brutally wounded or worse from these technologies, and then you can still have, as I've learned, you know, all the trappings of civil society intact, but people just go quiet, you know, understandably. I mean, you know, if there's military standing outside the polling booth, you're a lot less inclined to argue vociferously with, you know, the registrar if you and all your neighbors have been purged from the rolls.
Well, I think Barack Obama's going to come into office, and then I think the left's going to be completely co-opted. And I don't have to go into him saying he wouldn't go for wiretapping or he'd end the war and flip-flopping. I mean, the Wall Street money's on him. This is giving him left cover. The left, the mainline left, is suddenly going to love FEMA camps and mass arrest. And
oh, God. And I don't think so. The mainline left will be the ones, you know, right in the front lines. I mean, they'll be targeted.
But not if it's Barack Obama. Not if it's.
All right, so let me just say for your audience, because people have rightly said, when will Alex Jones persuade Naomi Wolf that there is, you know, that she needs to see beyond the left-right paradigm? And I have to say you all are making a lot of headway with me, because while I still believe that an Obama presidency at least will staunch the immediate decline into a police state, I've also been saying in public again and again that it is going to be business as usual, in the sense that unless there's an enraged bipartisan, transpartisan citizens movement to restore liberty and the Constitution, here's why. Barack Obama, with these rights, is going to be tempted, you know, these powers, is going to be tempted to use them just as the founders knew any leader will. And the trillions of dollars to be made in surveillance and security technologies by vested interests who benefit from a police state, you know, have the same pressures on him that they would on any other candidate. So it is going to be up to us as citizens to hold any leader's feet to the fire. We are not, you know, I would rather have a constitutional anyone than an unconstitutional Democrat in office.
Naomi Wolf, our guest for the next 50 minutes. Your phone calls at 800-259-9231. I'm going to cover the coup de grace, the key info, with her when we get back. Stay with us.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and it's designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons, or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The true story of the Bilderberg Group. The late, great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
Phase one of the insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated with the recent bailout. International bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. Their next engineered crisis will be on a scale never before seen in modern times. Shortages and empty shelves will spread fear and panic across the land. The insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize total power. Phase one is a one-world currency, which we are currently being prepared to accept. Phase two of their insidious plan is complete control of our food supplies. Go to www.foodshortageusa.com for the details. That's www.foodshortageusa.com to learn how to prepare for the unthinkable. Don't wait for empty shelves. Learn how to make your own survival foods for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let me make this statement. This is key in psychological warfare, in the info wars that the military-industrial complex owned by the private banks are launching. And almost all the information I'm about to cover is in their own white papers, their own admissions at the international level. Just like at Waco, when they were ramming the Bradley fighting vehicles into the building and machine gunning everyone as they tried to run out the back, all in the FLIR footage, and this came out in congressional testimony, Delta Force was there shooting the men, women, and children. They were announcing this is not an assault, this is not an assault while they were doing it. So, even as you see the economy implode, even as you see, if we're unable to stop it, martial law and troops on the streets, they will continue to deny it's martial law. They will continue to deny it's a problem. They will continue to laugh at anyone that even brings it up. I mean, if you read the Army Times and they say they're going to engage the American people with non-lethal weapons and aid the police for civil unrest, and then you say that, and then they say to Naomi Wolf, we never said that, counting on people not reading the Army Times. So this is part of a psychology. They're going to deny it and deny it and deny it and deny it. It's like for a year before the U.S. invaded Panama, they had helicopters and troops and doing drills and touch and goes and inserting special forces and pulling them out. And Panama kept saying, you're going to invade, you're going to invade, you're going to invade. And they said, you're crazy. You're nuts. It's a conspiracy theory. And then they later made a History Channel thing showing the psychological warfare. It's the same thing here, but they're acclimating the police, the military, the local governments. At these urban warfare drills with the Army, the Marines, and others all over the country, they practice taking over the city council, the city hall, the county commissioners, the state capitals. They practice arresting the lawmakers, guys in suits walking out of city halls with their hands behind their head. This is all Pavlovian psychological operant conditioning of the public. And it's all right in your face. And Naomi Wolf is absolutely right. We have to scream bloody murder, say no, have the facts, make an issue about this, because they want to, it's the way you domesticate a wild animal. You open up a pen, put some grain in there, leave it open for months, let the wild horses, wild pigs, whatever it is you're wanting to capture, wild cows, bovine, come in, and then finally, after a few months of that, you just one day, nowadays they have a timer on the gate and it just closes, but in the old days, a person would just walk up and close the gate on them and then keep feeding them for a few months, showing them you're friendly, and then start taking the babies from the pigs, the babies from the horses. Those are the first you tame. Then the other horses see that the baby's being taken care of. Then they think you're part of their troop or their clutch. You know, it's the same way that ducks or geese imprint. So they're imprinting us right now that all of this is okay and good. It's like when the Delta Force, it's just like they take over third world countries. They came into South Texas town, San Antonio, and they went and bribed the mayors and the fire chiefs. But finally, the police chief of San Antonio, they brought in about $200,000 in a big cash bucket and said, "We just want you to be friends with the army." And he said, "Well, what is this?" And they said, "Just be friends with us." And he said, "Oh, I was in Army intelligence. This is illegal. Get out of here." And then he was in the news. I went and interviewed him. That's in Police State 2000. And so what we've discovered is just like they've paid off the Iraqi constabulary, that's the real surge, with these, 60-something billion and $100 bills they're flown in. They've also corrupted the troops. A private gets $30,000. A standard-rated sergeant gets about $100,000. And folks, I've even got family that I know. I brought it up to them, and they get real mad and won't talk about it. They've been bought off. They've been compromised. The series Rome is pretty accurate, and in that, Caesar takes a centurion for just one part of Rome and says, "I need you to carry out corruptions for me." And a corruption is once you get somebody on the take, now they're corrupted along with you. And so they have these emergency management centers they built in every county and city and state that are federal. And they have CIA officers in those now. And they have CIA liaisons in the city. And so in most counties and cities, they've run thousands of former FBI agents to be sheriffs and police chiefs. They're everywhere now. And see, that's what militaries do throughout history. They take over societies. With Caesar, 2,040-something years ago in Rome, I guess 2,051 now, crossing the Rubicon. They build up this army. They bring it into Rome. They bring it into Washington. And that's what this brigade's for. It's to menace the government and menace the rest of the military. They've hired felons for the military, illegal alien felons, aggravated felons. We told you about that 10 years before it was in the news. Now it's in the news. So this is real. This is happening, and it's about the looting. This is about the international crime syndicate, the brokerage firms, the select group of banks, creating a vertical integration of the economy, cutting off liquidity to cause a depression. Then they'll have the only liquidity to buy it all up, and they know you're going to riot and crime's going to go up, and then you're going to beg for the U.S. military to be used. So you're seeing the military, "We're going to help you at car wrecks. We're going to be out there aiding firemen and police." They're just introducing it, not just the public, but the military as well. Now, that's my little four-minute comment. Naomi Wolf, you've got the floor to comment on this, but this is historical. This happens 99% of the time in countries. Empires never last more than 200 years. It's happening here now, and they'll let the cops go ahead and be part of it. They're going to have their pension funds taken, too. They're going to have their dollar devalued. The good news about this is these things always end up falling. Naomi Wolf.
Well, once again, you're adding dimensions to that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I did know that millions of dollars are being pumped into, as I believe I mentioned, police departments across the country in order to get the militarization that we saw at the RNC. And I did know that, one really important thing I learned from my research in Give Me Liberty is that something that always, always works in bringing down a tyrant is mass protests. But they're not the kind of protests that are legal in the United States now. The kind of mass protests that brought down the Berlin Wall or that restored people power in the Philippines or that liberated the Baltic states or, restored democracy in Pakistan are illegal. And now that we have these heavily armed police, they're very dangerous as well. You're not allowed to step in the street for a legal protest in the U.S. because of this 30 years of over-permitization. So I teach people in Give Me Liberty how to stage a real protest and how to dress safely to protect yourself from, most of these technologies. Obviously, some of them, the ones you've described.
But, Naomi, I go back to the Fuhrer precept. I go back to the,
So let's talk about psychological programming. It sounds so extreme to think that this could be possible. However, I have to say, I have some evidence that you're right. There's some very chilling footage from the RNC that people can see in the End of America movie, which I mentioned, where you see Amy Goodman or other protesters being, not Amy Goodman, being beaten. She's being rounded up, but other people are being beaten, and this heavily armed cop, could be a cop, could be a federal agent, is yelling, "You're violating my constitutional rights," as he's beating this unarmed civilian. And the writer in me is just looking at that thinking, something very directive is going on there.
No, that's psychological warfare.
Exactly.
Whenever we had people attack us at the DNC and break our bullhorns and things, they would say, I have rights, as they pull out a knife and cut the cord. It's on video. I have rights!
Extraordinary. So this is clearly organized. And, you know, I'm experiencing something which is quite fascinating online, this viral video that's calling for people to sort of sign up with the Citizens Peaceful Army to restore liberty. The viralness of it got stopped by one poster again and again and again and again, like relentlessly, day and night, saying she's a plant. If you go to her website and sign up, they're going to round you up. She's, you know, a Council on Foreign Relations member, you know, casting me as this stealth agent, you know, for the very people I'm criticizing. And it had the effect of sort of making people go, oh, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, maybe I won't pass this around to my nearest and dearest.
No, exactly.
So relentless.
We have the Army field manual that was put on WikiLeaks about 6 months ago, and the Army confirmed it was real, about how the Army in Latin America would do the same thing. If somebody was getting really successful, they would come out and then say they're an agent. Now,
oh, really?
Yeah, but see, the government, and they admit NORTHCOM is involved, quote, fighting an info war, CENTCOM with bloggers countering us. They'll even have their handle, and you'll go back to their MySpace, and they're in uniform, and they'll have the PSYOPs patch on their site. They're not even hiding it. But
extraordinary.
What they do is they assess your weaknesses in your credentials, which aren't weaknesses, but to them they are. And they say, well, she's a Rhodes Scholar. They're all New World Order. Because Cecil Rhodes did set that up to set up world government. And then,
although, as we've discussed, he left me out of it. He left me out of the information.
Well, regardless, you judge a tree by its fruits. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it isn't even about Naomi Wolf or Alex Jones. This is happening, so what are we going to do about it? And they always use fear and say, they'll get you, they'll round you up. No. We need to not go quietly in the night, not have a chilling effect, stand up and say no.
Exactly.
That's the only way, historically. Are you a member of the Council on Foreign Relations?
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, regardless, the CFR, when it was 2,000 members set up by British intelligence in 1922, was clearly a shadow government and still is. But now they've expanded to close to 5,000, and they have inner boards of it that are on the know and part of the military-industrial complex, invisible empire system. But they also try to co-opt. I'm not going to say that. I happen to know about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. I happen to know they're anti-New World Order, and I happen to know that that she's being co-opted in the name of helping African children. So just because she's a member of the CFR doesn't mean Angelina Jolie is New World Order. No, some of the films, you know, they're trying to suck her in. The point is that we can't become a bunch of McCarthyites talking about the activists. The point is, NORTHCOM has announced this. This is happening. And, why do people in our movement always police us instead of looking at what's happening? And most of the time, they're operatives. And they explain in the Army Field Manual how to go out and claim that the real activists are agents.
That's so fascinating. I'll have to take a look at that. Well, in the meantime, I think we need to create some positive strategy for what to do. I mean, one of the things I really want to urge people to do is, and again, you've been very instrumental in helping me get past this, being stuck in this left-right paradigm, is that we really need to build this transpartisan army of citizens. And what I'm urging people to do is, you know, in a closing society, when individuals say no according to their own circumstances, it's very powerful because it sends a message to the people around you. So, like, when officers at the RNC refuse to arrest these Iraq vets for peace, that's a way to say no. Talking about impeachment, bipartisan impeachment, and prosecution of the president is a way to say no. We can talk about that when you like.
Well,
I hear the music revving up.
Yeah, sure. For the internet audience, I'm going to skip this break. For everybody else, we'll be right back with your phone calls. On the other side, Naomi Wolf is our guest. Naomi, I know we're all over the map. It's because I have such passion, like you do, on this subject.
Sure.
And I know
there's a lot to say.
Mm-hmm. And I know they've been creeping up, setting it up. I've been studying it probably like nobody else for I'm so sad for my children, my wife, my family, for everybody else, because I know how real it is. And I've seen the video of the police saying, as they're beating you, I have rights, I have rights. It's so sick, and they're destroying their own future. You know, they're compartmentalized, and most of them are post-traumatic stress disorder troops who are completely mentally ill. You know, from I mean, they put them in 3, 4, 5 tours on purpose to fry their brains.
Oh my God, I never thought of that.
No, well, we've got government documents on that as well. So the,
oh my God.
Yeah. This is.
Well, what is your wife? I mean, what are your plans practically? You know.
We're just going to go down with America. I mean, we're going to stay here and just like I guess Masada or something. And I mean, I think we can stop it if we're bold, if we have courage. If we speak out, if we say no, I mean, what's most encouraging is I had a couple members of Congress on, and I saw others. I think I saw Feinstein say 9,000 to 1 calls, but the other congressman said about 1,000 to 1 phone calls against the banker takeover bill.
Yeah, but did it help?
No, well, they threatened martial law, so no, it didn't. But the point is that no dictatorship can make it with 90-plus percent against them. And so that's why they need a new president. Because it's a new front and people think it's changed. I'm going to tell you, Northcom runs everything. They're in total control. It was really set up in 93, not in 2002. And their speeches, CFR put out in 93. But instead of me preaching, I want to hear your solutions. And then I also want to take phone calls. But
okay, but you know, while we're in between, do I have a minute to ask you a question while we're in between?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think I sort of brought this up before, but, you know, I've been to events at the Council on Foreign Relations, and I've, you know, been a Rhodes Scholar, and I know all these Rhodes Scholars, and I've never has anyone crossed my path with any hint of these, you know, other agendas. I mean, I guess what I said to you last time is that an elite doesn't need to plan, so overtly in the sense of, you know, by definition, these Rhodes Scholars are in various positions of influence, but there's nobody ever speaks about an agenda of the kind that you describe that I'm aware of.
Well, here's the deal. Not everybody that becomes a Rhodes Scholar, because it's so expanded, you know, is on the inner circle. But Cecil Rhodes said he wanted an invisible British Empire.
Certainly.
Ruling through invisible roundtable groups. And, you know, you got like Bill Clinton with Kordmeyer over him and the CIA section chief in London. And I mean, all of that. So, you know, these things certainly, go on, but I judge a tree by its fruits. And the key here is, Naomi, I want to prepare my audience for victory. You know,
right,
I mean, they're so shocked that I can get movie stars on or rock and roll people or, you know, foreign presidents. I mean, we have to be ready that we're telling the truth, that we're going to have allies, that people on the inside, people who've been part of the establishment, are going to wake up and join us. And we have to understand that, you know, as we have some victories, people go, well, it's impossible. We couldn't be having a victory. They must be agents. And that's not what's happening.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, so much of this system is based on people in newspapers, in media, in the elite, you know, mid-level elite, thinking it's a good system and not seeing the big picture.
Yeah,
and as we pull the veil aside, we better be ready to have a bunch of allies. We better be ready to have victories and not have this loser attitude.
I hear what you're saying, and I think that's very positive. Can I ask, because your voice is very influential, if it's appropriate for you to ever vouch for me, you know, if, you know, in terms of these.
Well, Naomi, I mean, I say judge a tree by its fruits, and all your suggestions are great. And the information you put out is very accurate, and they don't like what you're doing right now, and they're trying to counter it. So certainly, clearly, you're against this, and so it doesn't matter. The information stands on its face, and I mean, I do vouch that your information's accurate, and you seem like a very nice, intelligent person who means well, and you talk about shattering the left-right paradigm, not just on this show, but I've seen you do it elsewhere, and that's what they don't. They don't want people coming together. Here we go. Back live.
And if it don't come soon, my crops will die.
The Bankman.
The Bankman says he likes me, but there's nothing he can do. He tells me that he's coming.
But the clouds are coming too. He ain't my friend. And I'll ride again.
And I'll ride again.
Naomi Wolf is our guest. And I want to go to some phone calls, but Naomi, plug where people get the new book, where they get the new video. Specifically, I mean, I know they can get it on Amazon and places, but specifically, how do they go to the sites?
Sure. Well, the new book is called Give Me Liberty, and you can get it in bookstores or on Amazon or on my website. And there's a new movie of The End of America, and our distribution strategy is very much influenced by Alex Jones' basically saying, let the people have the information and, you know, and let them have it in a way that works for them, no matter what. So a lot of people have moved heaven and earth to do an internet release yesterday. So you can go to endofamericamovie.com and just download it for free, or order the DVD as you like, and people can do screenings, which we're urging them to do, for their citizens, fellow citizens, for their neighbors and friends, to alert them. This is very vivid footage, a lot of archival footage, interviews with journalists and you know, politicians who have come forward, and ordinary Americans whose lives have been, you know, ruined by these 10 steps and who've stood up and fought back, and then their action steps. And at myamericaproject.org, we're building, it's not completed yet, but we're in the process of building a site where citizens, we want to build a transpartisan movement of, you know, many millions of Americans to be a kind of an army for the Constitution, an army for the restoration of the rule of law, and we're in a war, as Alex says. There are shades of difference in our understanding of the war, but we're, you know, clearly, and give me liberty, I say we're in a war. It's a war against citizens. We have to recognize that we're in a war. We're in the front lines. And the war is being kind of waged in a very stealthy way, and it's time for us to fight back. So at the end of Give Me Liberty, there are these 55 action steps, whether it's here's how you write the op-eds, here's how you become the media, here's how you do radio. It's not just Alex Jones and Naomi Wolf. It should be everyone who's concerned about these issues, raising their voices, creating media, documenting.
Well, Naomi, you know, that's the key. Sorry. That's what tells me you're for real. And you know, that your heart is in the right place with people asking that, is because you're saying to individuals, go out with the info, take action, and then the info you're putting out is accurate. And so instead of arguing about whether Naomi Wolf or Alex Jones are good, you know, men or women, folks, we have a predatory elite criminally consolidating and vertically integrating the world economy under tyrannical globalism, and we have to stand up and we have to fight back and we have to say no now. And I say to the military and the police and the bureaucrats and all of you, you're in their, you're tightly sequestered kind of mob gang mentality, little peer pressure cultures. We have no future if you don't break out of that. And I assure you, things are going to lead in this country, and the globalists plan this to be very violent and very bloody. It's not going to go well for you, and then the globalists are going to come in posing as the saviors later with the velvet glove fist after you've been discredited and a lot of you go into prison. So I see an even larger setup in all of that. And so I'm warning you, you better do a gut check, an intellectual check, and stand up for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. If you can't see that what the executive is doing and what the Congress is doing is tyrannical on its face, now then you better look again. Naomi, again, give out those websites.
Sure thing. It's endofamericamovie.com, and it's myamericaproject.org. And again, we're building those 55 steps. So you can also reach me at naomiwolf.com. I'm going to various cities as well, and we're signing people up there to pass legislation to restore the Constitution, the rule of law, to organize people into democracy commando teams where you can take power back and be as powerful as vested interests with your representatives. We're calling for a national referendum, for instance, to give power back to the people and break the stranglehold of special interests over Congress. Again, 55 action steps. You can start your own political movement. You can, you know, we teach you how to fundraise. We teach you how to start a nonprofit.
And regardless, the ideas she's putting out have been proven and work. Just take it and do your own model, folks. Instead of rationalizing, going, I don't know if I like her. I don't know if I agree with her. Or I don't know if I like Alex. Fine. Take what you want and leave the rest. Just get up off your butts and move against this tyranny now instead of in the peanut gallery, you know, playing secret agent all day. Get out there, expose the tyranny, expose the unconstitutional garbage. We're going to come right back, and I promise we're going right to your calls. We're going to skip this break, too, for the internet audience right now. Stay with us. Naomi, another thing I can do. And we did this at DNC. We had several hundred cameras there, and I believe that's why they didn't stage as much as at the RNC. And now it's happened in Canada and other places where we catch the police posing as anarchists, and we have people spread out who never stay in the crowd, so that when the cop runs up in the anarchist outfit and tumps over a trash can or knocks out some windows, our people have successfully followed them and then caught them going into police areas and coming back out playing clothes dress, and then it's made mainstream news in Canada, the U.S., Italy, Germany, and England, as well as Russia. All governments do this to these provocateurs, and that's what's going to devastate them, is us, and everybody can choose their combat role in the info war. A, we're peaceful. A, the enemy tries to infiltrate even mainline peace groups and says, let's go kill cops, and it always turns out that's a cop, but it comes out in the news. Anybody that does that is a fed or a provocateur. Never allow anything violent. Mm-hmm. Understand that the big foundations, the left and the right foundations, are funding the anarchists, not all of them, but the main groups to do that. And the other key is, again, don't wait. Do a one-page newsletter and print up 100 copies every week and put it on 100 doors. I mean, that will bring down the tyranny. Get my film Endgame. Make copies of it. Get it out to people. Spread the word about films like Terror Storm, the history government-sponsored terror, or Naomi Wolf's film. Have parties. Have people over. Show it. Because don't imagine you've got to fix it all yourself. It's every person moving with purpose. Once you really take action, it's like Willie Nelson said first hour, it's almost the subconscious will just kick in.
Exactly.
With that rightness of purpose. And we don't want a cookie cutter. We don't want a single head.
Right.
We don't want Alex Jones or Naomi Wolf to be the leader. We need lots, thousands of leaders with tens of thousands and millions of other sub-leaders coordinating with different things, not a cookie cutter, hitting them at every angle, talking to cops when you see them on the street, going up to police. I do it every time I have time. I see cops go, hey, guys, been trained for urban warfare. You don't know about this stuff. You know that happens in history. It's going to destroy your future. Your dollars aren't buying as much. They're going to take your pensions. And, the point is that it's really starting to work. And so I want people to understand, be positive, move forward, take action. And I think the covert operations, you can call it investigative reporting. I wouldn't call it spying when you do it, or they'll try to set you up for that. That's now been happening. But as an investigative reporter of the First Amendment, surveilling corrupt judges. These people are all so evil. You just follow them. You'll catch them cheating on their wife. You'll catch them buying drugs. You'll catch them. I mean, most of them. These are criminals running government now in most areas. I mean, if they go along with this, they're crooks. You'll catch the Homeland Security Deputy Director's pedophiles. That's a pedophile guild up there, especially in the Republicans. Follow them. Bust them. I mean, we got to get, all of you are agents of liberty, literally sabotaging the enemy operation. Start seeing yourself targets of opportunity. Don't dress up in camo. Dress up in a nice business, outfit. That's your real urban camo. You are there in the police department, in the military, in government, spying on the enemy operations, giving us the data. We are going to win. We have friends all over the place. Our numbers are growing. Their numbers are dwindling. Here we go back live. I swear on the eternal altar of liberty. Resistance for eternity against tyrants, thugs, control freaks, scum, liars. I commit myself to truth and justice, all those things they've told you were sappy. Because if you don't have liberty, you have nothing. Our economy can fully implode, but if we have liberty, it'll come back. The enemy tells us that the terrorists attacked because they hate our freedom, and it's true. The military-industrial complex carried out the 9/11 attacks and many others because they hate your liberty. They've committed a million crimes. They've got to go for broke because they've done so many illegal things that if they don't bring in total tyranny, they know that a free people can get control of the government again and bring them to justice. Naomi Wolf, I want you to comment on the points I just made with your own unique perspective, and then we're going to go to the phone calls.
Well, I love the shift in energy from analyzing the threat, the sort of, here it comes, here are the 10 steps, which certainly makes us feel afraid, especially I as a mother of two beautiful children feel afraid when I think about that and sometimes feel powerless or overwhelmed. And then shifting into, the message of, we do have power. There are millions of us. Our numbers are growing. People are waking up. Here's what you can do. You can go talk to military, talk to police officers, educate your neighbors. As we were saying before the break, write those op-eds. We teach people and give me liberty. Here's how you frame the debate. Here's how you leak to a reporter. Here's how you document government abuses. So much that we can do. And And, you know, I love Willie Nelson's point because artists have a lot of wisdom at a time like this. The subconscious is powerful. And so if we shift from a fear state of, oh, my God, here they come, to a kind of state of joy in finding one another and creative problem solving, and again, drawing on that wisdom the founding generation meant us to have, this group of absolutely ordinary people, farmers and artisans and working men and women, washerwomen, enslaved African Americans, not just the well-known founders, all of whom took extraordinary risks and, you know, broke up the power of the biggest empire of the day, right? That's what they did. We've got to do that again. But, you know, my study of history absolutely shows that when millions of people make that psychological shift, it is overwhelming for the would-be tyrants. They can strike and strike and strike, but they're facing a hydra, you know, when the people really are energized and knowledgeable and standing up for one another and standing up for the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The enemy is a hydra. We have to have a hydra-like approach. With, you know, they got 1,000 heads, we got 1,000,000 heads.
Except we have 300 million. We can be a hydra for liberty.
Absolutely. We got to do it. Wow, Naomi Wolf. You know, I haven't read the new book. I did purchase the original book, the one I was going to have you on. You sent me one. It's an easy read, but well done. You know, The End of America. Now you have the new one. Just 2 weeks ago, Rick Linkletter's been out of the country making a movie about, I think it's H.G. Wells. I mean, the point is he's been in England for a year. He was back about 6 months ago for a birthday party, and I was out of his house, out of his ranch. But it came in the mail, your book, The End of America, a little nice note from him. And of course, Rick's a patriot, knows 9/11's an inside job. But the point is that your book and your material is really getting out to people, because he bought that book in England and then mailed it to me. I think he's in the Isle of Man finishing up the movie. It's H.G. something. Is it H.G. Is it Orson Welles or H.G. Wells? I don't remember. I have to pull the article up. But the point is that your book is really getting out there. Jared in Florida, you're on the air with Naomi Wolf and Chris Richard. Tweedledee, and then Summer. Go ahead, Jared, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Alex?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say I'm a Prison Planet subscriber. I've been listening to you for about 6 months. And before I started listening to you, I used to hate my country. You know, we do all this crappy stuff. But, I mean, you totally turned it around.
Now you know it's a criminal military-industrial complex that has subdued us through high-tech propaganda. Now their propaganda isn't working, so they're moving in with physical control. See, and then we don't get the guilt of the wars and the evil, because we don't deserve all that guilt. I mean, we deserve the fact that we were slovenly and let this happen. But we, I mean, people need to see the evil so they have a choice to really sign on to it or not.
Exactly. I've never been fully blind to it. My parents always knew about, you know, the Iran stuff in 1950. I mean, I've never been too blind to it, but it's like your videos have definitely made it like definitive. I can actually tell people, hey, this is mainstream news. Don't you guys see this? And I burn all your DVDs. I send it out. It's great, man. But one thing I wanted to ask you, I remember a couple months ago you were covering about how hard it is to transfer your wealth to other countries. Do you think when the crap hits the fan, it's going to be hard just to get out of the country? I mean, I'm a dual citizen with New Zealand. And if it really happens, I mean, I plan on getting out of here.
All right, here's the deal. That's what the watch list, now over 1,000,000 people, is, which you can never get off of. And the news acts like it's just idiots up there, and that's why it's that way. It's always, oh, we don't know how to run things, but it's all their political enemies. Yes, the New World Order, the OECD, the International Bank of Settlements, that's about internationally having the same rules, the same computer databases, the same systems, which they use the war on terror to integrate as their cover, to where now if you want to go fishing 12 miles off the coast, they're trying to make you have a passport down in Port Aransas or Galveston to go fishing. They now have a North American ID card for people to travel. They're now admitting that face scanning cameras have been up for 10 years, are tracking everybody everywhere we go. They're scanning our license plates everywhere we go. Pentagon design. I saw it in Pentagon documents 10 years ago. Now it's mainstream news going, yeah, you're tracked everywhere you go. And that's how they get the face recognition, not just from getting your digital photo of the driver's license facility. It's really federalized, not with real ID. It was done in 93 with executive order. It was international ID. We have a world ID as of 2000 under world treaty. They're just not telling us about real ID in 2008. But again, there's so many facets to all this, and I want to get to other calls, but we already have a world ID that's over most nations. They're mopping up the few final rogue nations. And then the real work of eugenics against free humanity can begin. The one-child policy worldwide, the population reduction, the true horrors are to come. This is just the clamping down the last bastions of freedom and liberty right now. But there is resistance to it. So, yes, here's what happened. The elite, changed the bankruptcy rules so small people have trouble declaring bankruptcy. The elites had tax incentives to move their money offshore, and then 2 years ago changed it where it's hard now if you stayed behind to get out. And that's why there was a huge exodus right up to 2 years ago as everybody left to Dubai and to Switzerland and to Rome and to, to Spain. And then something bad's going to happen in Israel. Of the 10 richest guys there, 9 of them have fully left Israel for London and Switzerland. And so the elite are all evacuating. Most of the elites I know in Austin have evacuated to the Cook Islands or New Zealand or Australia. So there is a massive I can't get into details, but I know these people, and they have said that we're evacuating because of martial law. And I've been telling you that for several years. Naomi Wolf comments.
I'm Jewish, and so, I think there's this very deep reaction in people with my ancestry, because my dad's family was largely wiped out by the Holocaust, sensitivity to travel restrictions, because for people of my ethnicity, there's this giant divide between people who got out before the border hardened, during the National Socialist regime, and those who waited a little too long. So I watch with concern when I travel, I watch with concern the growth of the watch list, which Alex rightly noted is going, 20,000 names a month. Because in closing societies, those lists always eventually connect to job losses and travel restrictions, or worse. And I'm also noticing with concern the hardening of the borders. There's this fence being built along the southern border, and also more and more kind of Homeland Security type monitoring to Canada. And I'm very concerned that I keep reading reports that there's legislation being floated that would lead you to have to apply to Homeland Security or apply to the federal government to travel overseas. Because in a closing society, one thing they always do is close borders so that,
And by the way, the fence is going to be used to keep us in, not people out. They're just going to legalize everybody in the North American continent. That's been stated in the Council on Foreign Relations documents by Robert Pasteur and others. So that's what they do, and they set the precedence of violating due process and whole families' rights with the illegal aliens, and I'm against them having their rights violated, by the way, folks. It should all be done due process. And then that sets the precedent for the citizens, as Oliver North proposed with Poindexter, Admiral Poindexter in the 80s. This was declassified. They would use the front of rounding up the illegal immigrants first to sell the public on mass arrest. Mm-hmm. And the Houston Chronicle 2 years ago reported that, indeed, the FEMA camps are for illegals and citizens. So, see, that's being used as a smokescreen, even with law enforcement, to think, well, it's to get rid of the illegal aliens, but that's not really what it's for. Just like in Nazi Germany, they first used it on unpopular minorities first.
Exactly. So you anticipated my next point. This awareness of the need to stand up and call a halt, the tactic is always in a closing society to go after people who are seen as marginal or unpopular or the wrong race, Muslims or Jews or, anarchists or communists, in the National Socialist era, and, certainly the mass arrests this spring of illegal aliens or illegal immigrants is very distressing to me, because if Americans were in good patriotic working order recognizing their rights, we would be screaming as loudly that undocumented workers without papers were having agents of the state break in, drag them away from their children, locked down, processed without due process, mass processing, fair grounds in the Midwest with blacked out windows.
Which FEMA called a drill, and we had people inside that. They were drilling during that for the American people. That was a test.
What evidence do you have? What evidence do you have?
I had sources inside of it, in the town and inside of it. That's all
I
can say.
Why can't we get these people to go on the record?
Well, let me stop you.
Distressing. Okay.
I had a pastor on 2.5 years ago. Butch Paul had him on first here on the network, who was in Ohio. Then we had another preacher on. He faxed me all these documents. He said, you're allowed to post them. He said, no, don't black out the fax phone number. It's just a little mini mark.
Mm-hmm.
About the 13,000 preachers that have been hired by Homeland Security to teach and FEMA to teach their flocks to turn their guns in, to go to FEMA camps, to take the forced inoculations. Have you heard about that?
No.
John, cue it up. She won't believe it. Remember the piece that was carried on the news, the national news? Find one of them where their preachers called for martial law. And then a year after that happened, It was in some national and local news. Now, but by then it was 26,000 preachers. They doubled the number. It's called clergy response teams, which is the same thing Hitler did.
God.
Now, but it's secret. Now, 1 week after he came on my show and we posted the documents, the FBI went to the mini mart, demanded and interrogated them and asked them who was in here that day, who sent these faxes. It was over 100 pages. And they said it's the local pastor who has a church of about 400 people. He also volunteered for people who were sick and dying at the hospital. And when he came into his job at the hospital, FEMA was there with the FBI, and the guy was scared. And they said, you can be arrested under national security. You no longer are welcome in any government facility or hospital, and we're watching you.
It's ready.
And then he was basically put on a no-fly list. So, and it turns out the other preacher, then we didn't even put out documents, they visited him because they have these guys all under NSA surveillance with keyword computers. So the minute they do an interview on their home phone, they're under surveillance. The NSA computer records it. An agent comes in and sees they're talking. And then now that was before it came out. Here it is. You found the local one out of Louisiana. Here they are introducing it through Katrina, but this is nationwide. This came out 1 year after we broke it. The secret FEMA documents are on InfoWars.com. Here it is.
Law ever become a reality in America? Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. territory might trigger just that. And as KSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem. Us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. That forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
Civil rights advocates believe the amount of public cooperation may depend largely on how long they expect a suspension of their rights might last. Jeff Farrell, KSLA News 12 reporting.
Naomi, being a historian and knowing about World War II, Hitler's favorite line was Romans 13. So go ahead and comment. We'll go to some more calls.
I mean, this is a tough conversation because you're bringing me information that is so truly shocking.
It's a thousand times worse, Naomi. It's so bad I can't even explain it all.
All right.
CIA runs every major city. FEMA camps are built. Most police chiefs are bought off and paid for. It's total mafia takeover.
Well, let me just take it step by step. I did want to say, when I express kind of unease at how many people are telling me data that needs to be followed up on but are reluctant to give me their names, the most recent one was in California. A gentleman came up to me and said, I was hired to do IT work at one of these camps. It's near Bakersfield. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've seen with my own eyes, he said, the train cars with shackles on the floor, and they're painted white, and I've witnessed this.
I've seen them. I've seen them, but go ahead.
So I said, because I'm a reporter, you know, and I can't just circulate, you know, unattributed comments or rumor, I said, you know, will you go on the record, or can I get another source to back you up? And he said, you know, that he's a dual citizen, or, you know, he's an immigrant, and he is scared to come forward. But he's a very credible, you know, he seemed like a very sincere, concerned citizen, and my gut intuition was that he wasn't, you know, that he was telling me about something that genuinely had disturbed and upset him. And he said they're massive, that what he saw was massive. So obviously this is not reassuring to me. And
well, we have the 2002 purchase order for 3 1 million man camps. I mean, we have the federal, they even put bids out. I mean, it's not.
Oh, okay. I'll look at, of course I'll examine these documents. I think you've got to be patient with me, Alex, because, the way I'm trained, I like look at the documents, source the documents, try to fit it into the bigger picture, test it, and
look into the civilian inmate labor camp program conducted from 1986 secretly until 1997 when it was declassified. Civilian inmate labor camp program, a secret archipelago of army-run camps. And they already have Americans in them. We'll explain behind the scenes right now. Okay, what they did is they had army bases, never in the public knowledge, that would then take federal prisoners to be overseen by the army. There were 12 camps, Atterbury, Anniston, others. And then they expanded those to 24 when it was declassified in 97. And so, and now they take regular prisoners, but that's setting the precedent, and they admit it's a laboratory to train the military in the control of work brigades.
Good God, we've seen those before. Yeah, I hear you. So what I've got to tell you, Alex, is that another citizen came up to me in San Francisco, and he said, and he gave me his card, and he said he can't go on the record yet because he's on parole, but he said he was a federal prisoner, and he said there are work camps, and there are work brigades, and that he was in them, and he said he had been a Democratic fundraiser, and then the FBI came, and he was arrested. That people are being arrested with family members.
No, yeah, we have the work camps. The work camps are there.
Okay, so this is, of course, is a shock to me because I'm just living in, the rest of the landscape with the rest of the landscape information stream. And
look at two things. They tried to pass a law in 2003 in Oregon. Senator Menas almost got it passed, no pun intended, and they almost passed a law 4 years ago in Rhode Island. It was in the Providence Journal and in NBC. It said if you criticize the government, you will be arrested and you'll be given life in prison and a work brigade. Both bills said work brigades. You can pull those up.
Good Lord. But I don't understand why so many public servants are going along with, this is like multiple sources, multiple levels of people conveying, carrying water.
You know about the Princeton and Stanford research where they noticed that if an authority figure told graduate psychology students to kill someone with an electric shock and they believed it was real, 90%+ committed the murder?
Absolutely. The Zimbardo experiments, I believe you're referring to.
Yeah, well, there's several, yes.
They were at Princeton.
But, I believe it was Princeton.
So I am familiar with that, but why would so many Congress people be supportive of this kind of legislation?
Because they know how real it is. They all know. I talked to congressmen on air and privately, and they go, absolutely, Alex, you're absolutely right.
They know. So why would they want to collude with it?
They're scared. They understand how serious this is. They understand that the U.S. military and the global elites are hardcore, and they decided to join with it. They've decided to, that a new age is upon us, and they're going to join with Sauron, basically.
Well, then what? Realistically, in spite of our brave words of a few minutes ago.
Naomi, you don't have the 11th point in your book, and that's called They Try to Take the Guns. And if 1% of 150 million gun owners fights back, that's 1,500,000 armed resistors against this tyranny. And we're going to come back right now. We got Lindsey Williams with his oil being cut in half, prediction coming true, joining us in about 10 minutes. I want to hold Naomi 5 over in the next hour if she can do it. If not, she'll be gone in 5. I just brought up to her the Second Amendment, the last line of defense. As a person breaking the left-right paradigm, Naomi, I know a lot of, quote, liberals that have been out the last 2 years now understanding why we need the Second Amendment. I'm not calling for violence, but if you're being taken in cattle cars to a FEMA facility, what do you do?
Yeah, I have to say, part of my education by many wonderful patriots I've met on this journey on the left and the right and beyond the left-right paradigm is that they've challenged my assumptions about the Second Amendment. I certainly was raised in a demographic that always thought that gun control was the most important way to keep people safe, and now I think it's not that I'm advocating violence ever. Of course I'm not. This should be a peaceful revolution using the rule of law, but I do understand, you know, that in a closing society, as many people have noted, mm-hmm. the regime will take away citizens' guns. And I do understand now that there are times in history when we have worse problems than gun violence, you know, from gangs and so on, than that a police state is a greater problem.
I mean, is there a time for us to defend ourselves?
Well, you're putting me in a very challenging position. I mean, we have to defend ourselves in every lawful and appropriate way we can, with violence being the absolute.
But if Adolf Hitler was our president, it would be lawful in the organic law to resist him as the general staff did. But again, it's not a president here; it's the complex around him. Naomi, let me be clear: the enemy, the programmers, want us to fight back physically, so they have a pretext to engage us. I do not believe in offensive military asymmetrical strikes against them. But if they're rounding people up and taking them to FEMA camps, it is not a right. It is a duty in the Declaration of Independence to resist 110%. And I believe the American people, if we don't turn things around peacefully, we may do that. We have a chance. It is going to go to the next ballot box, which is the cartridge box, and it's going to be hell.
Yeah, well, you know, let's first talk about peaceful revolution and the rule of law, because as I think there are many women listening and many mothers like me who are sort of thinking, God forbid, you know, God forbid, let's do everything in our power to keep that from being the outcome. Because, of course, you're right, when there's a coup, what happens next is, you know, battles in the streets and civil war. I mean, that's just historically what happens. But, you know, God forbid, and there's a lot of opportunity for us to use the rule of law. Let me talk about one action step I'm calling on people to do. There has been a coup, as I've argued, and so there should be immediate bipartisan impeachment proceedings and then the filing for prosecution and arrest of George Bush and other high officials who have committed, in my reading, treason, because they're making war against the American people, which in the Constitution defines treason, making war on the United States. So there is a wonderful prosecutor, and I'm sure you've talked about her, Charlotte, I beg your pardon, a woman running for Attorney General in Vermont, Charlotte Dennett, and she has promised to prosecute and arrest George Bush and other high officials who've committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and Vincent Bugliosi is going
to
be her prosecutor.
Yeah, that is the key. Crime. That is the key, is to declare them criminals and illegitimate. I'm just saying, Naomi, a lot of us aren't going to run into pits and be shot in the back of the head. Nobody's taking my children. It's not happening. I'm not looking for a fight. But I'm asking the American people, if they try to take you to camps, resist them in the name of the Republic.
Well, and I'm asking the American people to rise up and use the rule of law first, because history shows that the real threat...
But should we go to death camps? Should we go to death camps?
Uh-huh.
Should we go ahead and give in and go to death camps if they tell us?
Well, of course we shouldn't go to death camps. I mean, when, you know... There's a lot of models for, you know, even my people who are so kind of, you know, non-violent by instinct. You know, there was resistance in the Warsaw Ghetto. You know, obviously self-defense is an important American value.
As Alexander Solzhenitsyn said,
people means first.
The machine would have ground to a halt if every night when the secret police came out to pick up citizens to take them to the gulags, they would have been met with daggers and hammers and hatchets in the doorways. We'll be right back with Naomi Wolf. 5 final minutes.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
I'm going to keep talking to her.
Visit GCN.
Naomi, you've got to leave us now, or can
I
you...
I do. A car is coming for me in a couple of minutes.
You have to leave right now.
It's interesting. This is definitely a gender divide, because as a single mom, I don't have a firearm, and I don't know how to use it.
But where'd you grow up?
In San Francisco.
Well, I mean, the women around here, and I mean, these are intellectual, powerful women, a true feminist, I am woman, hear me roar, they are locked and loaded, and they're going to blow the new world order straight to hell.
You know, as I say, I'm definitely evolving. I think it's not a bad idea to know how to use
it. Let me tell you, that's the true feminist, is that warrior female, gorgeous, strong, her babies aren't going to a FEMA camp, they're not getting shot up, and I guarantee you, our women are going to resist as well. One way or the other, the new world order is coming down.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll read anything you want me to, and I should say goodbye to you, because the car is waiting in the...
We're going to let you go. Naomi, I appreciate you coming on, and I want to... You know what? I don't want to wait 3 or 4 months to have you back up. Let's have you up on the eve of the election.
I would love that. And can I have Kelly get my new book to you, certainly, and get... I would love to make sure that the movie gets into your hands.
All right. Well, this has been an amazing two-hour brainstorm, and thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for your educating me, Alex.
No, you've educated us a lot as well. Naomi Wolf,
all
thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
All right, Naomi Wolf had to go. She had a car picking her up for some TV program. I'm jamming a few final phone calls right now. We'll keep taking them, too, with Lindsay Williams coming up. We got into some hardcore subjects there with her. You know, we're sold on the military, the police ruling us with weapons, but we can't defend ourselves. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's not. Oh, it's oh, guns. You better fear guns in the hands of evil. And we reach out to the former sheriff, the current Austin police chief. We have them here. We're trying to deprogram the police. But I'm not going to any FEMA camp. And you're not taking my children. You understand? Stop engaging in evil. Back off. You work for criminals. Period. Chris in Florida, Richard, Tweedledee, Summer, and others. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, Alex. I basically just recently woke up, you know, probably 6 months ago. I've become a sponge. Found out basically that they've been creating tyranny and, you know, they passed Patriot Act 1 and 2 and all this stuff. But my question was, I mean, I personally am not going to any camp. I mean, if it comes down to it, you know, I love America. I'm definitely a, you know, patriot, ardent at heart. But
let me just say this, and if it goes to that, don't wait for them in your house, folks. If they've done things to make you stand up, you go out and find them on your terms.
Absolutely.
And if anybody kills me, I want to be avenged. And all I want to avenge all the other patriots. I want that on record.
Right.
Go ahead.
My question was, what was going on in the big cities? Because I heard you talking about crowd control and the waffle gun and the stuff about St. Louis, and then you said some kind of like link or something as far as what was.
Well,
on
I
the
read
end.
where the Wired magazine reports, and it's got a military report admitting that the microwave gun will actually kill people.
Right.
I mean, it's shooting you with high-powered microwaves. I mean, it says it'll kill them. It says death right here. Army orders pain ray trucks. New report shows potential for death. Now, they're telling you they're ordering them now. They're pre-deployed in every city. Helicopters with knockout gas to knock out whole cities. That'll kill about 10% of the public, their studies show. And by the way, cops, they're going to kill your wives and children, too. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and find out. Go ahead and find out what your masters will do when they nerve gas or use opiate gases on you.
Do you have a link?
I just gave you the headline, man. I mean, Army orders, pain ray trucks, the whole link. Okay, http://wired.com/defense/2008/10/army-ordering-p.html.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Anything else? Richard in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, Alex, I think I first started watching you when you wore a white shirt and a tie on cable access. And I also want to say hats off to my painter. I'm a commercial realtor and degreed professional, and 4 years ago I was still pretty ignorant. But he really helped me out a lot with your tapes, your videos, and everything. Two things real quickly. Folks can do a lot. They can email articles. They can talk to people. You don't know how many times I've held impromptu classes that I never meant to hold at different functions and meetings, and folks are hungry for this information. The other type are scared to death. Their eyes glaze over. My philosophy is let them go. But the other thing I started to witness, and I haven't seen this in a long, long time, if ever, I do hang out at one of the local gun stores. I'm an avid target shooter and collector, and it's not the one downtown. It's one of the more remote ones. A lot of law enforcement comes through there, and they all say the same thing. They're getting ready. But the thing I've seen that I have never seen before in the last year is I've seen mom and pop, grandma and granddad buying AR-15s, AK-47s, all semi-autos, high-cap 9mm, and I would dare say that those guns are outselling deer rifles this time of year. And we watched a grandmother come in and buy an assault shotgun, and I said, what are you getting that for? She says, they're coming. He says, I just need to be ready. I mean, folks are actually starting to wake up and see this stuff coming. They don't always know what to do, and they need the education.
Stay there. I want to let you finish on the other side, then Lindsay Williams and other calls, and I'll get to you, folks. Yeah, all I know is I may not make it through this, but a lot of you are. We're going to kick their butt. We're going to win. We'll be right back.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD.